It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, Freedoms Phoenix here at the farm. Now, what we're going to do today, we have one of our very, 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 very special friends and guests. We have Kathy T. Now, she's with PhoenixNormal.net. Now, Phoenix Normal, N-O-R-M-L. And for those that you don't know how to spell phonics, PhoenixNormal.net. Now, Normal is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Now, this is what's going on. When we were at the Occupy Phoenix, the first day for Occupy Phoenix, I saw Kathleen there, and I've known her for years. You know, it's been a while. They've been active here, and of course, they were primary behind the legalization, decriminalization, littleization of marijuana here in Arizona. Now, it's like a no-brainer to get, you know, something passed here. I mean, every time it comes up, it's 60-something, 70%. I mean, it's just, you know, people want to be left alone. But, you know, they you know, playing politics, man, you got to get laws passed. Got to get something. Got to give me a card. So they went down that road. So we have had them at Freedoms Phoenix workshop before. They've had meetings, they come visit, and we're all friendly. We see them at parties. So we enjoy each other's company. We approach it from a little bit different perspective, well, quite a bit in a lot of ways. But we still are supportive of each other, and there's a lot of things that are changing. The attitude, the culture, everything is changing. Is there more overlap now? Can we start to have a relationship to where we can help each other and still go towards the same goal? You know, leave me alone. Well, Kathy, I knew you as Kathleen, so that just stuck. Now, what happened was, is we want to have a conversation, and you guys get to share. We've been visiting this morning, getting caught up. We're going to promote them a little bit in the e-zine this month. We're going to reintroduce them to a lot of the activists here and revolutionaries here in the Phoenix and Arizona area. But this discussion is worthy of you listening in from an international perspective. I know a lot of the audience and a lot of the activists and revolutionaries out there, we approach it from a different standpoint. When you have, so I'll start off this way by asking Kathy this. When all of a sudden you had presidential candidate Ron Paul, a few debates ago, he gets up and he says, yeah, legalize heroin, man. It's all good. I mean, did you freak? Did you go, oh, I can't believe he said that. It's going to set us back. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'll tell you, Ernie, I've been so disgusted with politics lately that I stopped watching. I've been fighting since last year when Prop 203 passed. It's been so exciting in Arizona that I've been full out concentrating on that effort. The fact that Ron Paul went ahead and said that we should legalize heroin. Well, you know, this is America. It's all about freedom, and I'm all about freedom. So, hey, why should anybody tell us what to do with our bodies? As
but
a national,
did it concern you?
Well, you know, it only concerns me, sir, because the fact is, Ernie, you know, I'm a proponent of the natural medicine, and Normal's stance would be to get behind probably no other drugs but marijuana. But I also know that Keith Straub is a man for freedom, and he's the founder of the National Organization, 1970. You know, so I believe he would advocate freedom, but we're about reforming marijuana laws. So that's basically what I stand up for.
Okay. Reform. One of my favorite words. What the heck does that mean? I mean, reform in what way? Are we reforming the people? Are we reforming the drug? We're amping up the dosage? I mean, what are we reforming here? Are we getting legislators to recognize something? What are they recognizing? So when you say reform, that's pretty open basket here. Let me know what that means.
Well, you know, you remember the Reformation. I mean, the fact is sometimes it takes and sometimes it doesn't. I think as a turning of minds, that the Reformation of minds is happening, as we discussed earlier. People are definitely gearing, you know, they're understanding freedom. The younger kids, they understand it. They've seen in their lives, they've seen the effects of marijuana on their families. They've seen the effects of alcohol on their families, and they've definitely seen firsthand the effects of prescription drugs. So the battle of the minds and the reforming of minds is great, but in order to reform laws, we start with the people, as we also discussed earlier. And laws, you know, it's kind of like passing Prop 203. Last year, of course, the Marijuana Policy Project came here and did that, and we got full on behind them. Not because we feel that there's only medical quality in marijuana, which we're discovering how incredible this can be, and that it's even being used as a form of something that's natural as opposed to chemotherapy in the treatment of cancer. That's happening in Canada and in Mexico, and I think that's the most important thing that's spun out of this fight for freedom that I started 3.5 years ago personally, because it's something I didn't count on. Last year when the medical issue came up and we fought for medical, I fought for it as a first step towards full-on legalization. And what I saw were people that were really, really seriously sick and being cured or at least alleviated of pain with cannabis, which I honestly didn't understand until last year. And then I saw what, you know, and then everything is just, the information is coming. And that's what we're all about. We're all about information, getting that to the folks. But we did reform a little bit. You know, we turned around. The fact is, when you have a patient who's got a, you know, in effect, a green card, and that's what some of us are calling it, it's our green card to freedom. That those patients would have been a felon last year, and now they're not. If you have a patient's card in Arizona, you're not a felon if you get caught with some marijuana, and that's reform.
Reform. All right. So you're trying to explain reform to me as a reform of, I guess, the situation to where someone that needs to smoke marijuana. I mean, it's a compassion thing. I mean, somebody needs this, and he shouldn't have to risk going to jail for something that they need for their health. It's not bothering anybody else. I understand this. But, you know, you have to understand from a lot of our perspective, the fact that I have to go begging the government for permission to put anything into my body for any reason, it's like you already lost the war before you even started. You already, you know, conceded something that you're just waiting on the whims and the winds of the time to be able to determine what you can and can't do to medicate yourself, or just for recreation, or just because I freaking feel like it. When you do that, that's where we have problem. We're very supportive. We try and help. We're out there doing, helping change culture and everything, make your job a little easier.
That's right.
But, you know, from our situation, it's like we can't really openly join forces and start putting like Freedom's Phoenix up there with Phoenix Normal or Normal Anything, because we know a lot of the guys normal around the country, even yes, nationally. And if you're a libertarian, you know this issue. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. You probably come at it from a different perspective, but, you know, it's not new to us, okay? So from our perspective, if you're already conceding the idea that there's some regulation that they get to determine how you're going to use anything that doesn't bother anybody else for your body, it's like you already lost before you started. That's why we're kind of aloof on a lot of it. We can't be branded with that because it doesn't, we're not going in the same direction. But now that, let's talk about the law, though. I mean, there's no getting around. I mean, that's one thing you want to go, hey, man, you know, there's somebody needs it and he's not going to jail.
And the man is present. The man is always present. So, yes, we have to do what we can to keep people out of prison.
Well, the first place I don't want the man present is between my ears. That's where it starts. So if we can eliminate him there, what kind of the other stuff's just a mop-up operation. So to have you go, no, we're going to implant him between your ears. And make him a good guy. He's gonna give you a permission slip. And it's, you know, so I'm going. Whoa. Well, that's the perspective that we have. Is there any way that we can work with? Because we work with a lot of people that do. I mean, heck, I got the Venus Project, or the Zeitgeist version 15 or whatever, out wanting to communize the planet, and we help them. So if I'm willing to help them,
well,
I'll help you.
Okay.
You know. So I don't care what people say. I just want to make sure they have the opportunity to say it, and they get exposed to the people that are very supportive of them saying what they want, because I know what happens. They get infected. The injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure. That's what we do. And the only way that we're able to do that is we go to the Tea Party, neocon, warmongering, we want to, you know, rule the planet people. Or we go to Occupy Wall Street, Phoenix, Oakland, whatever, you know, that wants to take everything from somebody and redistribute to their friends. I mean, these are groups of people that we want to just share the truth with. Phoenix Normal, we can do this. But I need to know, where can we overlap? How can we work together and provide you guys with the services that you need? And just by osmosis, just by being around us, I know a lot of the people that are gravitated towards Phoenix Normal and your projects are going to go, you know, this libertarian thing is not that bad. Heck, they may already be anyway. I'm sure you have
a
lot of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
So go ahead and tell me, here in Arizona, what got you started? How did you elevate yourself up to be in an influential position of this organization? Where you see the future is? Go, go, go.
Hey, elevated to an influential position, that I'm not quite sure, but I will say just getting out there and doing what you feel is right. If you can start there, then anything's possible. But I did. I started about 3.5 years ago when I realized I saw an issue of High Times. I happened upon one of those, and I saw that they have a million marijuana march every year on the first Saturday in May. And I thought that was interesting. 300 cities around the globe fight for marijuana freedom. And I think that's just, it's a showing of folks. And when you can hit the streets and just show the world that you're there, it makes other people feel like they can be a part of something. So we went to L.A. to experience that in 2007. There were about 10 or 15 people there because, well, obviously they've already gotten their freedom. So what do they care? So they don't hit the streets anymore, I guess, in L.A. But, you know, we met some good people. We got started here in Phoenix. We had about 1,500 people over at Steele Indian School Park the first year. And we enjoyed a lot of freedom. And that was actually prior to the passing of 203. Of course, that was 2008. And we had 1,500 people in our park here in the middle of Phoenix enjoying freedom. And in the way that my folks do. And it was a beautiful day. And from that was born Phoenix Normal. We started Phoenix Normal out of the excitement that came out of that 08 March.
When we had this summer, we were at an event called Pork Fest 2011. Porcupine Festival.
Okay.
Nice try. No, your mind's at. Okay, so
no,
we
had... I was thinking of the food. I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Got it. Well, it's Porcupine Festival is part of the Free State Project up there. So we're there a week. This is the second one I've gone to. I mean, it was, you know, freedom was smelled everywhere.
Yeah.
And enjoyed everywhere. And it was peaceful. It's not like a alcohol-infested rock concert where you got all kinds of problems.
Absolutely.
You know, you're in a marijuana-induced environment. And I'm telling you what, it's all peaceful.
That's it.
So we just came from last weekend an event in San Diego called Libertopia. Well, it was kind of wasn't as open there. I mean, you're at a private facility, you know, you have a hotel, you're not camping out in the Lone Prairie, but, you know, there wasn't a secret. And the one thing that it just dawned on me, I realized when you do this kind of legalization, and you had the medical distribution clinics, and you do all like what they got prevalent in California. I mean, you know, they're everywhere.
Yeah. Now we're getting our own too. Yeah.
You don't. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yes.
You don't need to bring anything with you when you go to California, because you always know somebody that knows how to get whatever they know how to get. So I'm going, you know, I realized, what do you call an individual with a medical marijuana permit license? You call them a drug dealer, okay?
Oh, a permit license? Like a caregiver? Or
no, a person that can go get it.
That can actually just go.
Yeah, he's the drug dealer.
Okay.
I need this many lollipops. I need this many this. I need buds of that. You know, you take an order, and he goes out and fills out his prescription, comes back, and it's like, the Candyman can't, okay?
We like to call them caregivers.
Nowadays. They're drug dealers, okay? The like I care. I mean, you know, it's like drug dealer is bad. I mean, if they're a pharmacist at Walgreens, you know, that's not a bad name. But you know, it's exactly what I'm talking about. It is a cultural shift in the mind. Drug dealer, you can call them whatever you want. Healthcare. Well, my healthcare is I want to be buzzed to watch a movie. That's my healthcare. You know, I want to, you know, have some fantastic sex this evening on my, you know, for whatever fill in the blank reason.
Well, that's your recreational use.
Because I'm allowed.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? Guess who I asked permission? Me. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is, you can see even by, and that's one thing in the gun community. There's a lot of people, they really press on the use of language, because if you say certain things a certain way, your permit this, you're that, you know, they're just kind of see, you're just buying in to the mindset that they're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I give you a perfect example, and then we'll get into the law here.
Okay.
On Freedom's Phoenix, the drug issue comes up quite a bit. We get to use whatever graphic that we want that goes to whatever story. That's our editorial comment. I get to, you know, you could have the Washington Post, USA Today, somebody, whatever, New York Times says something, and I go blah, 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 but I get to pick the graphic, okay? And
that's
a lot
right.
of our writers do and so on. So anything that has anything to do with marijuana, everything, I usually got a bodacious babe, scantily clad with marijuana leaves on covering her nipples kind of thing on the you know, there. Sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, anything
there's
to do
quite a
with,
bit of that.
With marijuana, it's all about the fun and girls and it's party. Now, what happens? Debbie Kidd, very conservative, you know, very popular, talks to a very patriot kind of, you know, big Ron Paul supporter and everything. She sends me an email one time. She goes, Ernie, I I'm going to have to unsubscribe. You always do that. I can't stand it. You know, it's just disrespectful of the what something. Okay. You're whatever to women, you know, that kind of thing. And the only response I could give her, I go, Debbie, I understand, but our audience is different. Our mindset is different. I will not play in to their headlines. I will not use their description of the issue. I will not put their title up. And it's stupid stuff. You know, government allows blah, blah, blah. You know, law passed to yada, yada. And I'm going, you know what this is about? It's about I get to smoke dope and freaking because I can. You know, it's all about, you know, partay. Because I just, you so don't get to give me a reason of why I get to. I get to determine the reason. It's my reason, because if it's not, then it's not my body. So that's why I do that. It's a conscious decision that I make to frivolize this whole argument or whatever it is, because I don't care. They don't have a good enough reason to give for how they're going to control my freedom. So that is kind of our attitude. And it's part of this cultural war that we're doing. Now, from your perspective, you had a law to pass. Okay. You had an initiative to get. You had to raise money. You had to get signatures.
And we had the good work to do. Yeah. Yes, we did.
You know, we can go on and on and on about good work, convincing people they need permission. But anyway.
Now, okay.
Let's go ahead and start from the beginning.
Okay.
There was an opportunity to have an initiative that would change the law in such a way, and we'll get into the details later, but let's start there. We're going to pass a marijuana whatever law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't even know what you called it. You know, it's a freedom law. Well, not really. It's a health care. Well, maybe not.
You're talking
it's
about 203?
Yeah.
Okay.
So how did you define it? Where did the money come? How did you get the people to circulate? How many volunteer compared to paid signatures did you get? How many signatures did you need? What was the vote totals? All that. Start from the beginning. Explain it to me.
Okay, as far as signatures, I'm sorry those numbers escaped me now. It was something like that. But the Marijuana Policy Project is the folks that are the folks that came. Andrew Myers is the campaign manager, and they came a couple years ago. We got to know them, and then they basically employed people, and they gave them money per signature to get out there and get them done. And honestly, it was a godsend, because if you want to call it that, but a jawsend, because we didn't have the money to do it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking around the map of the country, and I saw how all these states are flipping for medical. And I realized that 4 out of 5 states that surrounded Arizona actually had their rights after I came back from California and watched freedom in action and said, you know, what's the matter with Arizona? 4 out of 5 states have medical, and some of them have medical and decriminalization. What I realized, though, Ernie, is that the ones that had decriminalized had started with a medical bill, because what they needed to do is explain to the population that marijuana had some value to its citizenry. And that, again, is what I didn't understand, because I came into this as a civil liberties issue. Like, this is our civil liberty. We should be able to do this, period. We're Americans. And why on earth can we have alcohol, which kills everyone? Which personally put my father in a wheelchair, and eventually he died of cirrhosis of the liver. So it's personal for me, you know, and so I see that, and I know that marijuana never hurt anyone. I saw, you know, that my friends have not been hurt by that. People that did drink did get hurt. And then, you know, one by one, you see, you know, my little cousin, you know, is 5 years old. He's on prescription drugs. I realize that this is insane. You know, the world's spinning out of control, and we've got something to cure most everything. Not only that, and then I found out later it can house us. We can make everything we touch out of it instead of oil and plastics, you know, and chemicals. And it's alarming to me. So when I saw that Marijuana Policy Project was knocking down these states all over the country, and that's how people were basically gaining their freedom, I called the Marijuana Policy Project and I said, hey, what's up with Arizona? And they said, we have Arizona in the works. You know, the next couple of years, we're going to be there. And so I called them about once a month and just kept calling them. And then lo and behold, one day, you know, after they kind of put us off, Andrew Myers gave me a call and said, hey, you know, we landed here. We're finally here. Marijuana Policy Project's here to, you know, start gathering signatures and get this medical bill rolling. They explained to me early on that it was going to be very tight. That it was going to not be what we wanted. It wasn't going to be like California. It wasn't going to be like Colorado. And that we could expect it to be very clinical, and that was the only thing that we would get passed in Arizona. And so I told him that, look, at any, and this is the way I've always been for 3.5 years, aside from the 1 year I went back to school, anything, any opportunity that comes up, and like you, Ernie, you know, helping us out is just tremendous for us to get the word out. But you take any opportunity. So, you know, naturally we're going to get behind any mission that came, and then it came and it saw it conquered. Yeah, it's not what we wanted, but it's a little step in the right direction.
You know, go ahead and explain to me, what are the attributes of this particular bill?
Well, what we didn't want is it to be, I mean, obviously what those of us who fight in the name of freedom, we don't want it to be monopolized by big money entities. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. And Marijuana Policy Project told me that it was going to be very clinical, that you would have to have, it was going to be very regulated. And in the end, we won by less than 5,000 votes. And so the fact is that the bill was not a bill for freedom. It was more of a bill for, hey, you know, we're going to make this like a hospital thing. You know, it's going to be only for the strictest of you know, patients that were really sick and really, really needed this medicine. Well, you know, what's happened with Jan Brewer fighting it, it's gotten us into a limbo where now we are a lot more like California and Colorado. There's a lot more freedom. You know why? Because now everybody's opening compassion clubs and they don't have the regulation that 203 actually was looking for. It's kind of all over the place until they get it back out of litigation right now. So it's turned into a little mess, but the mess is gone.
So those compassion clubs I can go to, they're not raiding?
You know, the 2811 Club got raided. I was there with Al Sobel last week, and he's a delightful fellow. After all, I'd met him once at the Green Relief Expo in April, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him. And you know, his speech. The fact is, they're trying to do everything by the book over there, according to Prop 203. And they say they had everything down to the wire by the book, and they were still raided. The thing that alarmed me the most was the fact that they, as soon as they got there, they duct taped all the cameras in the building. And to me, Ernie, I think that, you know, that just stinks right there. As far as when you start
who
out,
who was they? Was it the Arizona or DEA or what?
I believe it was the DEA that came in there.
This is all right. Explain to me. How this, these, what did you call them? Compassion Club, what?
Compassion Clubs.
Okay. Yeah. What was the loophole? Okay, let me go ahead and give you kind of my rough understanding. Correct me or I'm wrong.
Okay.
When this law first passed, Mark Victor, which mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. spoken at your events and so on, Mark Victor, criminal defense attorney, knows the drug laws. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's all over it. He's like, oh, yeah, baby, we're going to open us some clinic. We're going to have us. We're going to get, we're going to make us some money.
That's right.
Let's do it. He's like, you know, this is, you know, heck yeah. Freedom reigns, man. Let's go through the law.
Hell yeah.
What he found out as he went through it and studied it, he's going, Ernie, this is a pharmaceutical thing.
Absolutely.
He goes, this is, you have to grow it, mm-hmm. own the land to grow it on, heavily regulated. You have to have distribution for what you grow. So it's like you have to have Walmart with their own farms.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going, is this Walgreens going to have hydroponics on their roof, you know, dispensing? Don't laugh. This is what's coming.
I was hoping to get my medicine at Walgreens someday, but I just want it the right way. That's all.
Well, the way that they want it is you ain't allowed to make it yourself. That's what's up. Well,
naturally. That's why they kept it down.
So I'm going, okay. So what was behind this? Well, if you got the Marijuana Policy Project, they knew. They had to know who that they're getting in bed with. They had to know who was allowing it. They had to know. They knew, okay? But kind of like with a concealed carry permit, if we give them a permit and blood doesn't run the streets, well, then they'll just kind of blow it off and kind of never mind. We don't know. We'll do the same thing with marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody, I raised my hand, had to be out there going, yeah, I ain't getting no permit. Y'all kiss my butt permit. I don't have no stinking permit. So we do the same thing with the marijuana, but they did something different this time. They lied. They didn't want this to happen. They didn't want anybody following the law that went through the steps that tried to do. They're not really allowing this to happen.
Well,
so
that's what it kind of sort of stinks of. That's kind
okay,
of
go ahead and get to the microphone and explain to me how when this was passed, the first inclination that you had was, all right, people are going to be able to grow and open up a place, and I can go there and I can get it.
Uh-huh.
Is that what happened?
Well, basically, no, because then Jan Brewer threw it out to the feds. You know, how are you going to cover my state employees? You know, are they going to, can we implement this law? And, you know, and then they went ahead and turned around and threw it back and said no, but they've still got it all tied up in litigation, so nobody's going to be opening any dispensaries soon. So what they've done to put it back in kind of the gray area so that Prop 203 could continue because it is the people's vote. We have that voter, that darn stinky Voter Protection Act that everybody hates so much there in the legislature. But, you know, because of it, they can't just get rid of it. And what she would like to do is just get rid of it. There is a move to repeal it that's coming up. So we're going to be heavy into that fight as soon as it comes up. That's why I'm everywhere.
Blah, blah, blah. This is what happened. They passed. I tell you where that came from. In the late 90s that you had, it was Sperling, I think is his name, the guy that owns Phoenix University. I think he was the one that, you know, financed it to begin with.
Yes.
Dr. Jeffrey Singer, mm-hmm. the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, he's part of.
Yes.
He goes to Goldwater Institute. All these guys. We've known Jeff for a long time. Jeff was one of the guys that spearheaded this thing. He's a surgeon in Scottsdale, I think. So he goes and he says, yeah, I'm all over this thing. You pass it. The libertarians came out in the voter guide at that time, and we go, are you kidding me? This piece of crap, you know, commie, sochi, blah, 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 blah. How bad is this? We're not turning over our rights to the government, yada, yada, yada. Well, of course, we knew all these guys. They're sitting there laughing up their sleeve because we made them look moderate.
Yeah.
They're going, yay, see, the libertarians want, you know, heroin for babies. Okay. We're the moderate guys. We're the reasonable guys. Okay. So what they did is they go, it passes. So 70-something percent, it was ridiculous. I think it was 76 or something like that. It passes. This was in, do you remember this bill?
Oh, yeah. What, in the 90s? Yeah. The first time, 96?
Yeah, the first time. Back
sure,
when
yeah.
So this passes with the libertarians in opposition to the bill because it had a bunch of, you know, money for clinics and you get to treatment and you mandatory blah, 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 and all kinds of crap. We're just going, this is just more make money for somebody. There's some special interest doing this. Just like this last one.
Just every, yeah.
So like, what happened was when that passed, the legislature freaked out. They go, no, we repeal it. Done. It's over. Yeah, you passed it. We don't care. Now what are you going to do? So here you got a billionaire that's mad. It passed. What'd they do? They funded an initiative that says whenever an initiative passes, you got to have, I don't know, 2/3 or 3/4 or something
right.
of the legislature, supermajority, to change that law because the people passed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just opened the floodgates for all kinds of we want to make some money, taxes and whatever, because they knew all these special interests that we're going to use tax money from liquor or cigarettes or this or that to fund the indigent poor that we're going to whatever. So here come hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars from all these different special interests to pass initiatives that they knew would never get changed because of this change. So now we have this big, giant, bloated bureaucracy that Arizona throughout the country is the worst in the nation per capita of state debt. We are more per person than California.
Oh, man.
Arizona is the worst because of that initiative, because the legislature said, we don't want this marijuana thing, threw it out.
Oh, yeah.
People got pissed. They passed another initiative saying, when we pass an initiative, you don't get to change it.
Uh-huh.
Special interest goes, oh, we like those.
Yeah.
Okay. So here came all this other stuff. So that's the history of how we get to this. So now, here we come with another initiative. It decriminalizes it a little bit, whatever the heck it does, and we'll get into it. So now the legislature wants to do away with it. Well, they're going to have a supermajority. Do you know if it's 2/3 or 3/4 or what?
Unfortunately, I do not know that. I'm sorry.
So they're going to come in and try and do this, and you're going to spend a whole bunch of time trying to change. No, you can't. Yes, we are. No, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you're not. Waste all that time while we're out here changing the minds of the people going, guess what? You know, we don't care what you guys say, and if you want to have any legitimacy at all, this government thing, better get done with this drug war because you can't afford it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going, you know, you're going, yeah, Ernie, what would you do? And I'm like, I don't have to do anything. I just wait for this whole system just to fall in on itself. I mean, you had Mark Victor speak to you guys before.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
inside. He knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. He knows his stuff.
So this is, and we've known this for a long time. Now, when they passed this, it was supposed to be enacted how? Now, and I know she challenged it and it went to the feds and all that, but you were supposed to be able, could you grow your own marijuana?
I believe it's 12 plants per patient. I'm neither a patient nor a caregiver, but I believe it's 12 plants per patient that you can grow. But I think what was going to happen when they implemented this and the dispensaries went into place, that you could not grow at that point unless you were outside of the 25-mile you know, they set it up in little sections called CHA, where you couldn't grow. If you were within 25 miles of a dispensary, then you couldn't grow for yourself. And that was the thing that really upset people. And
so
it
now
upset
that they
me
don't,
as well.
Well, it's a pharmaceutical industrial, you know, make me money act. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So what happened was, is you have people now that have, they went down and they got there. I'm a patient. Here's my card thing. Well, without a dispensary, they get to grow their own.
So exactly.
So they're starting to do that.
Absolutely.
Then you have people with other cards, you know, and can I just buy some from you? You got it, and I got the need in it. So that's kind of the gray area they've been working on now.
Exactly.
So you got guys in their basement with the hydroponics just, you know, growing their 12-plus, and
it.
They're, you know, making it available. Hey, it's legal. Well, there was an interesting thing that happened a few months ago. Guys out there, hey, man, yeah, I got it. You know, we'll do a deal. It's all legal. Come on in. Show me your card. Guys show up, try to rob them. he shoots back, kills him.
Yeah.
So then, you know, where's the problem here? He's going, hey, man, the guy's trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault. I'm smart enough to bring a firearm and I win.
Yeah.
You know? So then the question is, yeah, but, you know, if you're going to be growing marijuana, you're not supposed to be allowed to have a gun.
No, you can't be a regular American citizen if you're growing marijuana, even though the laws change.
Yay,
yeah, I know.
Oh, pass these laws? Yeah, hell yeah. That was a good iron did. Who in the hell put that in the law anyway?
Yeah, no, that's, is it actually written in there? I'm sorry.
That's how they're interpreting it.
That one escapes me, but I thought it was just the general feel of don't have a gun if you also are a patient or a caregiver.
There is some, I think it was a federal, that if you are, you know, in whatever, they've interpreted it that you're not supposed to be
I'm making
a
note to
gun.
Find that out before the meeting on
so
Wednesday.
The big issue was, and we had a big thing on Freedom's Phoenix, was that this guy was legal, growing it legal. Legal people that said they were coming, he's going to show me your card, get legal. All legal, legal. The only thing that made it illegal, he had a gun.
Oh no.
And he defended himself. Successfully,
right?
And I don't even know where that case is right now. I need to check up on that. This is recently.
Yeah.
So I'm going, this is exactly why I hate having all of this little bitty crap in the
minutia.
Law
That's
that
right.
they get to interpret.
Absolutely.
So I'm going, you know, you missed the whole point from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell me when or when I can't grow it. How far I got to be lived out, moved to whatever.
Yeah.
I can or can't or whatever circumstance go to my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I can or can't, you know, have a gun. I can or can't, you know, have children. I can or can't. I can or can't.
Yeah.
And I'm going, from the very beginning, you've already conceded that. That's my point.
Okay. So why did I get behind 203?
I'm just making my point. Now, Kathy and I had this discussion for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm going, okay, so now we've already conceded that and we got this mess, all right?
Yes.
So the benefit of the mess now is that as long as it's in litigation,
mm-hmm.
the governor doesn't want to enact what the people overwhelmingly supported.
That's right.
You have this in litigation. It's kind of left it open to where people are just doing. Now, they could go after him if they wanted to. But for
like
right now,
did. Yeah.
Now, well, let's talk about that. It was in Scottsdale, this club or something? Where was it at?
I believe what is it? 28th Street in Bell is where we saw. It's 2811 Club.
Oh.
Is the name of it. Yeah, it was in the news just last week.
So it's down the street.
It's just, yeah.
I need to know this.
Yes.
Is it open now?
You know, I don't know if he's actually open. I think what they were talking about, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't know if they're actually open
So
right
what
now.
Was it he was doing? He was going, okay, if you come here, you can sit in the front room and medicate yourself.
Yeah, again, I'm not a patient, so I didn't go. But I heard, you know, that's what you do. You go, and I guess you just, you know, you visit, and you're able to medicate, and you're able to...
obtain?
You know, I believe at Compassion Club, that's...
somebody has some on them, we're going to compassionately take care of you.
It's a gray area, so I think that you buy a membership to the club, and with that... you're able to obtain medicine. I believe that's the
premise. Yeah, I know. They're called speakeasies.
Yeah.
Okay?
I call them smokeasies.
smokeasies.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to open a class. That's what's going to be called, smokeasy.
That's it. I like it.
That's good.
I
was
going
to do
it.
That.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you can see from my perspective, you go, we won. Did you?
Well, I understand your, definitely understand your perspective. And the fact is like I say, you know, I've been out kind of, I don't want to say on the road, but I've definitely been visiting and frequenting meetings since about February to find out the climate and, you know, what people are talking about, what's going on and how the general feel is. And I have to say that I'm proud because what I'm seeing in Arizona is folks excited about marijuana. They're excited about marijuana. They're excited about the industry. They're excited about making money from this plant, which is... finally, something that's happening that wasn't happening. And to me, that's progress because I know I have a lot of friends that obviously, you know, I mean, almost everybody I know is to have some kind of something in marijuana right now. And even my own business, I have a small cleaning service and I've opened that up to patients just to let them know that when we come to your place, you don't have to worry about my people that work for me because they understand freedom. And it's, you know, because you have things like DirecTV, you know, people coming into your home and calling them in, you know, just because you have your medicine there. Why, you know, if somebody's a patient and they're following the rules of 203, it's not like that anymore. They're not a felon instantly. And that's taking us away from definite, you know, a definite felony, which really is a deterrent in our society. And everybody's a felon nowadays. I found that, you know, what do we got? How many people are a felon? It's ridiculous. And that's how they take away our rights. Make them a felon.
This is, there was another law here called Prop 200. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You know, tell me about that. Mark could tell me all about it.
I apologize. It escapes me. I remember being behind it. I can't remember which.
Yeah,
which
as I understand, what it is that if you get your first time, you can do diversion therapy. You go through so many months that you got to take classes. And so it's an industry is making all kinds of money with the treatment.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, first, okay, it doesn't go on your records, a $200 whatever. I got it, you know, blah, 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 whiz in a cup and do for so many months, and then I'm good. Second time, though, then, you know, it's death and damnation or something. Well, it's kind of like you get one freebie. Well, it's not free. It's thousands and thousands of dollars. It's just a money-making thing.
Oh, yeah.
So Mark is going, this is all, you know, he deals with this constantly. We had a gentleman. His name was Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith, he goes to Mark's law office, and he goes, you know, and he told this story at Libertopia. And I remember when it happened, I get a call from Mark. He goes, I really want to take this case. He doesn't have any money. Can we get behind him, raise money, do it? I go, he's got, you know, have him come by the workshop and we'll talk. And I go, what do you got? You got to have something. You got to have some skin in the game. I'm not going to be out there busting butt doing whatever. Well, I got this old boat. So he has a, you know, it's kind of a speed boat. And, you know, it's a small one. It's like a, I don't know, 20 foot, you know, just regular lake boat kind of thing. I go, it's mine now. Okay. So we still have it up Barry's over here. We're going to, you know, one of these days we'll refurb it and we'll make it. And it's orange kind of, we'll put the Freedom's Phoenix bird on the front.
Super.
And we'll call it the Phoenix. We'll, whatever. We get done with the RV. We're going to get that boat done, put it behind it.
I mean,
we'll be having some fun with it. We'll auction it off or whatever. But it was an excuse. I mean, it probably wasn't worth much. I mean, it's a nice enough boat. We'll get it done when we get time. But, you know, it was an excuse for us to be able to start raising money for him. And he had some skin in the game. So we raised. He did a big cutthroat rate. You know, it was like $5,000 or something he did for this guy. Because he was willing to challenge. He goes, I'm not going to go to the treatment. You know, I've been smoking. I'm 60-something years old. I've been doing this my entire life since I was 15. You guys are biting. I'm not taking the verdict. We're going to trial. Because what happened, he's in his condo, he's smoking, guy. It's a hot evening, you know, and he's got the wind blowing it out. Well, there's a police substation, you know, more than, I don't know, any more than a couple hundred yards away. Officer comes out, I smell Miss Money.
Yeah.
So he's going around looking, and he finds it, he bangs on the window, it's 1 o'clock in the morning or something, come to the door, you know, and Mark goes, why did you answer the door?
Oh, that's number one.
He goes,
that's
I was high, man.
Yeah. Oh.
I was high. So the guy comes in, he does, oh, we're going to search, you want to go and yada yada. Anyway, he gets it all suppressed because it was a bad search, because it was all, you know, just messed up. So anyway, was it asking him? Was it an order? Well, it's kind of the same thing. No, it's not. So it goes back and forth. Finally goes to appeals. They threw it all out. The guy walks.
Yay.
Okay. Yay. Freedom reigns.
That's right.
But normally that would have cost him tens of thousands of dollars of Mark's services. You know, we were able to help the guy. And the reason we did it, made such a big deal out of it, we covered on Freedom's Phoenix and the radio and made a big stinking deal out of this, because here you had a guy that was willing to challenge it. He's going, no, I could easily get this one little freebie thing, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Because this is just crap. That is the kind of battle I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody comes at this, you know, I don't give a crap what your law says. You did it wrong. I shouldn't have been compelled to do it. This was, yeah, you took advantage of me when I was high. And I, and you know, and I'm just sitting in, because this is what Mark has been waiting for. I want where a guy is sitting in his castle, not bothering anybody.
That's right.
That a policeman bangs on the door, comes in, and arrests them for smoking marijuana in their house.
Nuts. It's crazy.
And I'm going, let's do it. So we rocked. Success story. But it was based on, you don't own me.
That's right.
Or I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're already capitulating that, well, the law, you're confusing someone that cares. You know, I want to help those that know the law sucks. So I'm looking at this law now. Are you looking for it to be upheld? And if it is upheld, how are you going to benefit from it? Heck, you're not even a medicinal whatever patient. Well, you're screwed.
I know, but I see, I'm not doing this just for myself. See, originally, and that's like I told you earlier, is that I came into this and I came out of, I did some work with animal rights and I felt that was a giving sort of activism. And when I began this civil, rights, civil liberties kind of fight for marijuana freedom, I felt that it was a selfish activism, but it's grown into something that I've come to understand as Prop 203 passing. When I can take away, you can take away the fact that someone can become someone who is seriously ill can now not be a felon if they're caught with some of the natural medicine. That at its core is progress. I see it as progress. I also see your point, though, Ernie. I totally see it. My thing is that I'm in a position where I'm trying to act with the community, and I understand I'm against the community. I'm kind of in a catch 22. It's like when I was in high school, I had friends that were the smokers, and I had friends that were the what people would call jocks. So I was always kind of in the middle, and I'm in the middle here too because I like my community and I want to work within the system and with our legislature. Even though, half of them should just go ahead and go home. But, we all know who they are.
All of them.
Well, some. Yeah, all of them. But the fact is, these are the people that are actually, unfortunately, turning the wheels. It's like money. I don't appreciate money. I think it's the root of all evil. But it makes things happen. And that's why I got behind this initiative. Because I believe in progress. So,
So do I. And it's just a definition of what that is, and that's where we talk past each other sometimes. We're trying to work together. Your events that you have something this Wednesday night. What is that?
Well, we have the downtown Phoenix Normal meeting, and we've got two.
How often do you have those?
We've got two. We've got, we've got three meetings a month now. We've got one downtown. We've got one in the East Valley in Tempe, and then we've got one now, a brand new one in the West Valley. So it's pretty exciting. Our city has gotten so big over the past 3 years that we realized that just one meeting a month wasn't enough. And some people just couldn't get there because the city's become this monster that it takes an hour and a half to drive across. On Wednesday, we have our downtown meeting, and that's at the Firehouse downtown at First Street and Roosevelt, just north of Roosevelt. And that's at 7 p.m.
The Firehouse is a club or is a firehouse?
The Firehouse is a gallery, which is a really awesome, it's an art gallery. So in the front, there's an art gallery. And in the back, they have all kinds of interesting artsy kind of, they do spoken word. They do an interesting First Friday thing. I don't know if it's every Friday they do something. So First Friday night.
So how many people come to these meetings?
Well, we usually get, it depends on the weekend if it's we just got back to the Firehouse, which is great. We couldn't be there in the summer because it's an outdoor venue. But we usually get between, we could get 50 to 100 folks, depending on the evening.
Whenever you're dealing with marijuana, people that are in it for the marijuana, as mm-hmm. opposed to as a, encompassing a much larger thing, a lot of people, because we focused on gun rights so much, they just assumed I was a big gunny.
Mm-hmm.
When I started SAFE, Second Amendment is for Everyone, I didn't even own a gun.
Yeah.
We go to events and they're so embarrassed for me because, people gave me an old Makarov handgun just because, I embarrassed them, And I was the head of the organization. It's because I couldn't afford it. But I understood the importance of the issue.
Yeah.
It's like L. Neil Smith puts an author, he says, it's like a Vulcan mind meld into the government. You can tell what their attitude towards you is they don't want you armed to be able to resist them.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I could see that also with the drug issue. It was very simple. They owned me. I was cattle. I was livestock. The rancher, give me my number. They barcode me. They track me. They surveil me. They photograph me. They frisk me. They do everything. I'm a freaking sheep. So I'm going, just as the gun issue is, the drug issue is the same vein. It's like, do I own myself? How am I perceived by the government? And marijuana is a unique issue because it has such a track record of being so much more peaceful than alcohol or any of this other stuff. And I'm and it has health benefits and industrial properties. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and
on and on. Yeah.
So they've done such a bad job at picking their poison to go up against.
Absolutely.
But when I go to these events, I see a lot of these people and I talk to them and everything. And it generally goes like this. You have the freedom-oriented people that just, whether they smoke it or not, they see it as a freedom issue.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the people that are motivated by, I just want to be able to get some good weed. And they're like, you know, yeah, freedom, freedom, freedom. tomorrow, okay?
That's right.
You know, it's just like, yeah, you know, I'm, you know, but not today. I'm busy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch a movie. But but if they were able to intellectualize this as part of their life, then they would understand it's a cultural war. It's much bigger and deeper than, you know, even if it's a health thing. We have an older gentleman, he and his current wife, he lives in the Sun City West. Got to say Sun City West. You say Sun West. City, they freak out. Yeah, they're younger guys. He became very involved in the decriminalization in California. Because his previous wife died of cancer.
Yeah.
Within like 3-4 months, it was an intestinal thing, and boom, she was gone.
That's right.
And the only thing that would allow her to even, you know, have any kind of relief, or to be able to take the chemo, or to be able to, you know, was marijuana. And it was such a horrific experience for him. And he was a libertarian, freedom-oriented guy anyway. But he's out there making the argument, you know, on a compassion level, too. But he understands, you know, that this is a much deeper issue. And of course, that's how he would argue it. So as we have, and whenever I visit with people from Normal, you know, it's like I'm having to fight them all the time on the concept that this is much bigger than do I get to get stoned when I want to or not.
Well, yeah.
It is how I'm perceived mm-hmm. by the government. And
absolutely.
If I already give up the concept that they... You know, they need to, you know, loosen up my chains a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not advocating for eliminating the chains.
Yeah. No, they like the chains. They prefer the chains. That's what they're all about. I mean, look at what they're doing right now. I mean, you know, they're raiding. They're trying to shut down California. The tipping point is near, Ernie. That's the trouble. That's the problem they're having. And this is what I saw coming into this, is that as soon as the, you know, excuse me, I don't mean to be... you know, I don't mean to disrespect our older folks, but the fact is that they've been indoctrinated with the prohibition, the old prohibitionist scare tactics. And an interesting point is that the elderly Mexican folks understand the healing powers that marijuana has. And what I'm advocating now is for older Mexican folks to adopt an elderly white person and help them to understand. Honestly, help them to understand if you're of Mexican descent. Tell your grandparents, you know, tell your elderly Mexican friends, adopt an elderly white person and teach them about marijuana, because elderly white people are scared to death. And as they pass and the younger generation comes forward and they're coming up to vote, the kids know, and the tipping point's near and the feds are running scared.
You know, I tell you what's changing is I'm 50. So I, you know, have a lot of people that I knew as a young activist in my 20s, 30s. Now they're retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were part of the, you know, counterculture back in the day. It's not like, you know, marijuana has never touched their lungs.
Right.
You know, so
I know plenty of them. Yeah.
So they're just like, this is not, you know, like a big, as big a deal to them. And they have a lot of experience with friends or family members or something that has benefited from it. So it's not really that big a leap for them.
No.
But it is a big leap for them a lot of times to cast off the indoctrination of, well, we need a law, or the government's got to give me my, you know, my freedoms, or I get my permission from somebody passes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going, you know, we got to get past that. And when you say we make progress, I will always advocate that we make more progress when we abandon the entire concept that they get to do whatever the heck it is that they want to do to us based on some parchment that they got a seal on. And then there's always the guy with the uniform and the badge and the available gun and the clipboard telling me how, you know, I'm ruled. And I'm going, we need to abandon that before we can really be living free on so many areas, of which just drugs is one. And it's not a particular drug. And that's why when, you know, Mark Victor goes, you got to tell this story. I know he does this all the time. He goes up, first thing he says, this is how he frames it. Okay, and I'll give it, and then you can tell the event. He goes, he'll go, how many here are for legalizing marijuana? Yay! How many here are here for, you know, medical marijuana? You know, the people just, they just, you know, they need it. Yay! How many, because they just freaking feel like it and movies are better. Yay! How many are for legalizing methamphetamine?
Oops.
Same principle for us, but they had just silence.
Because so meth kills, Ernie. I mean, flat out. Meth kills and hurts people and destroys lives, and marijuana doesn't.
More than a drug war?
It doesn't. No, the drug war is certainly some BS. But
so you can keep the drug war around just for certain things.
No, I am. I'm definitely for liberty, and I am behind Mark as far as, no, people shouldn't be told what to put in their bodies. If they want to go ahead and kill themselves, it's kind of like, you know, I'm a pro-life individual, but I'm not going to tell other people that they can't have an abortion. I am a naturalist. I like natural medicine. I like natural, you know, pretty much everything. I wish the world were made of hemp instead of oil and chemicals, but heck, we lost that one in 1937. So I'm always going to be a proponent, a personal spokesperson for that which won't kill you. And that which will also, you know, it looks like it's morphing
tyranny
into...
Tyranny kills you.
Tyranny kills, but
I got a new bumper sticker.
Meth kills, too. I do like freedom, though, Ernie. I'm with you on that.
Tyranny kills more than meth.
It is. It is. It does make you a little stressed, doesn't it, tyranny?
So you can... I just want to make sure that... And we've been, you know, friendly.
Yes.
You know, for a long time, and have a lot of common overlap, and we do. So I want to help, and that's why I wanted to meet with you today, and I appreciate you coming over and us discussing this, because we didn't get to meet at the Occupy Phoenix event. I saw your stuff out there, and I just didn't find you.
Yeah,
you know?
No, we were out there in our little, we occupied a little section of, you know, we had our little tent set up. So.
Yeah, no, you had
then they kicked us out promptly at, what, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, no, AZ, you know, Phoenix Normal had the, you know, we're here, okay?
Yeah, definitely
we're here. As were we. We had our t-shirts and everything. Yes. We were out there, you know, trying to, you know, free the collectivist minds. But the one thing that I wanted to impress upon, you've been to our workshop before, you know, you'd seen all the things, you had meetings there and so on. And now that we've moved up here onto the farm,
yes,
okay, with
yes.
the animals and everything, you know, we still have all our facilities here and everything. And we wanted to make this available, get, you know, you involved in Freedom's Phoenix, help you with your artwork, get, you know, get you going. Because I'll tell you right now what I know is going to happen. As we associate with Phoenix Normal, and this law has kind of gone bad for a while, and it's badder for some people, whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, the people, as we start to help and associate with, they're going to come more and more to this. You know, I'm not asking permission anymore. I'm just, you know, I know where this goes, this infection of this concept. So I'm just, you know, I'm just FYI.
I'm with you.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're not yelling at me later.
No.
You know, because we don't have a collective to join.
We don't care who sees.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So some of the other things, I know you're excited about the QR sticker program that we got going
yes,
on.
Yes, very excited.
So we're going to help you with that. I already showed you how to do the QR code.
Yep.
Showed you how we do, you know, order the stickers. We'll get your design done, get you a new logo, get, you know, let's go.
Yeah. Now let's look for those all over Phoenix soon. Yes.
Because what's going to happen is, as we're going into the 2012 election cycle, and you got a 75-76-year-old, you know, Texas congressman up there, revolutionary, saying, you know, legalize heroin, you know, and he's, you know, softening the ground for you.
Yes.
So this is, do you have a lot of Ron Paul supporters in your group?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I have to say, I try to be kind of apolitical because I'm representing an organization, you know, but I love what Ron Paul has to say. I wish he could win as a third party candidate because I'm so, you know, just, I think everybody's kind of disillusioned by both parties right now.
Well, everybody, you know, Obama promised he was going to leave California alone. He promised he was going to get out of the wars. He promised.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just have to imagine that after a few years of that, you know, the people that you associate with have to be going, ooh.
Yeah, no, the liberals are not happy with Obama, obviously. I mean, you know, that's something. I think that was another thing that, you know, we made the mistake as Phoenix Normal, my daughter and I, we were very much behind Obama, but we you know, I think we fell into a lot of the things that a lot of the other folks did. We thought there was going to be change, and we thought that he would head the change, and that he could be, you know, he could be the start of a revolution of some sort. And I think it was just more the start of the worst that we've had yet. And it's just getting worse and worse, like you say.
You know? I remember a lot of us went, Donna and I, my wife, and Charles Goyette, and a lot of people from, we were over at Air America, you know, back in the day and so on. So we, you know, associated with a lot from the left, and we did our libertarian injection infection thing. And Cindy Sheehan was here in the Valley.
I was there at the party.
I remember. We had that. We had a conversation then. You and your daughter, very articulate, beautiful women. I mean, you know, exceedingly beautiful women, which is always good when you're persuading people. I am listening to what you are saying. So, between you and your daughter's Nancy, right?
Yes.
So you and your daughter have been a face to this for like, and you have like different functions. I remember we went to a function, one of the political thing you had at the zoo, so at the Papago Park or something.
Oh yeah. And you were great there too, Ernie.
At the zoo, what they do is they go and they have, and they get this ramada that you got to go way around to the end, at the end of the desert, and the end in the mountain desert end. And they have, you know, it's a normal thing. Well, guess what happens, you know?
Potluck.
Exactly. So, you know, it's, we've been at several different things, but I remember some of these conversations, you know, it's like, this Obama thing's not going to go the way you guys think.
Yeah, you were right.
You know, and I'm, so I've never forgot about you. We stay in touch. So now after this experience of years, I'm like, Kathleen, please. Can we work together on something we can agree on? And I want to help.
Wonderful.
And we're gonna make sure that you guys got a presence that now that you're done with the initiatives, now that you're done with all this kind of stuff, the idea that people cannot be cattle, that we can control our own bodies and our own lives. If you can kind of just allow that voice to come out from you, guys, I mean, just look, can we just be left alone?
Absolutely.
We are going to flood you guys.
Good. Well,
we're going to help.
We're business then.
Done.
Yeah. Okay.
Done.
Hell
how many shirts you want? How many QR stickers you need? Okay.
Hell yeah.
Work. Yeah, done. Done. DVD done.
Super.
You know, we were talking about this. I just last night finished. I recorded it because I didn't have time to watch it or whatever. It was the 3 days on PBS they did. Prohibition. It was a Ken Burns series.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that. It was, you know, they had
good
to
stuff.
Know
yeah.
what was going to happen. They did this drug war prohibition.
Yeah.
They wanted it. They needed it.
Yeah.
They saw all the money in it.
It's a jobs there.
It's a big bad guy. Heck, just profit.
Yeah, profit. Pure profit.
Heck, they go, you know, get paid by taxpayers to go steal the guy's drugs and then sell it. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just terrible. So what if we did, you know, a bunch of DVDs with that, a little promotion on a QR code sticker on the DVD of, you know, Phoenix, Normal, McCann, whatever, you know, you went.
I love it.
QR,
I love it.
Yeah, done.
That and also the movie Busted would be another good one.
Done.
Have you seen that one?
Don't think so.
I suggest it
don't
to
care.
All your
put
listeners.
Put it on the DVD, man.
Busted. Google it. No, because that
yeah,
tells you
I've
exactly.
I've seen it on Freedom's Phoenix. People have put it up, but I haven't watched it.
I thought a libertarian made that. It's a wonderful, it's a half an hour of your life, and you can find out exactly what to not say to the cops to make sure that you stay safe when you are pulled over, when something happens to you.
Well,
when somebody comes
you.
To your home and you don't answer the front door when you're having a party, when you keep your door shut so they can't smell the pot. You know.
Well,
the
you know, that this
medicine.
Is a lot of stuff. That's a good information. You know, we may even have something a little up there from Mark Victor, because I know what Mark says. Shut the F up.
That's right.
You know, you don't. He goes, let me tell you what my advice is. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know,
STFU. What is that?
Yeah. So it's so you're going to start hearing a lot about some expansion of freedom in this regard out of Arizona.
Good.
And I'll tell you why it's going to, I mean, the audience here, they know when we get involved in something, ooh, them headlines be buzzing. Mm-hmm. And if it's not on the headlines, they see it anyway.
Hey, good.
That's what the internet's for.
Right. That's what the internet's for. Until they take it away from us, of course, you know.
Well, that's what the space stations and private satellite launching capability, Richard Branson, Burt Rutan, Elon Musk, we kind of do our own satellites.
Hell yeah.
You know, this is we knew where this was going. You know, that's one thing. Just last year, I remember Richard Branson coming out saying, "Now we're going to purchase these bankrupt communication satellites so that we can provide internet service for the third world poor that don't have back. I go in, yeah, right. You know, can I be poor?
Yeah, no, see, now that's Richard Branson is one of the people that actually is doing something good with his money. See, now sometimes money works for good. Sometimes, every once in a while.
Sometimes
you can use it. No, not all the time. Get out of here. You were at Occupy. Money working for good? Not all the time. Come on.
You know, you're killing me.
I'm killing you? What?
This is what we're up against. Money is not the problem. It's monopolized. We rule you from the top. Culture we get to redistribute and give special privileges to and corporate, and you get to have, and we take and redistribute and bail out and all that kind of, you know, it's not the money. It's what they do with it. They take it from, or how they just keep printing it, or they, you know, it's just, you know, this is what we're up against. We're trying to go, you think that we don't understand exactly what's going on? It is all comes from a base cultural aspect of, do you get to rule yourself or not?
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm going to, you know, everything, all this other stuff is just, you know, the side effect, so, which is why we're going to help.
Yes.
And in the process, I guarantee you get way more than what you want, and we get what we want, which is a change in perspective, a change in the culture here. We've done it. With the firearm issue, we hammered on that. We refused to get the concealed permits. We refused to capitulate that they even had the blah, 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 blah. Sooner or later, the culture was totally saturated with, what the heck are you guys doing? It just went away.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, unrestricted concealed carry, done.
Yeah.
They didn't even have to pass a law. They just did away with a bunch of crap.
Right.
So, done. Same thing, marijuana. Except that one, they're really pushing from a federal, we don't care what you pass, we're going to come get you anyway. Why? Why? Nobody even asked why.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out. We're going to help.
Okay.
Kathy T, Phoenix Normal, N-O-M.
Whoops.
N-O-R-M-L.net.
Phoenixnormal.net. National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Yeah, well, her reform and my reform are totally different.
Well, we're going to tie it up, Bernie. We're going to figure it out.
All right. Well, we're going to have some fun. All right. Well, this has been a good show. I'm glad that we got to talk.
What about you? You're coming, though, on Wednesday, right?
Okay. Well,
all right. Say that?
Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wednesday night. I didn't want to say it unless you wanted to say it. You know, so Wednesday night, it's at the, go ahead and give out the information for it.
At the Firehouse, and that's First Street, just north of Roosevelt in Phoenix, Arizona. Come on down. Ernie will be on about 7:30 p.m. The meeting starts at 7 o'clock. And the Firehouse is just an awesome art gallery, which is such a great open venue. I think
come
you'll
on
really
down
dig
and meet,
it.
Meet some new friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, those
meet
are
your
you
community.
That are in the you know, vicinity here of 100 miles of, because
yeah.
This goes, you know, around the world. So,
that's right.
You know, the people that are here in Arizona, you want to go and have a good time. It's the Firehouse on Roosevelt and what?
It's Roosevelt and First Street. I believe it's 1015 First Street in Phoenix.
And this is downtown Phoenix. It's in the Roosevelt Redevelopment District kind of thing down there. That's where they have First Fridays. Are they still doing that?
They are, yeah, and that's actually this Friday.
But you know what happened was we used to be involved, go down there and have fun and everything, and it used to be this kind of this anarchist, everybody just go and the people walk in the streets and little booths and everything, and then...
Oh, guess what?
Here come the man.
Yeah, the man came, took care of that, too.
Said, no.
Yeah.
You got a permit? That hot dog stand got a sticker?
Yeah.
You know, we're just like, next.
Wait,
you
are
know?
You guys having fun? How can we ruin it?
Yeah. Right.
No, that's what they said.
You know, we weren't having fun anymore, so we didn't do it. You know, and this is, it's always that kind of typical, you know, whatever. Here comes the man. You're having success. Here they come. So what we're going to go ahead and do is, you know, you're welcome to come. That's Wednesday night at Wednesday. It starts 7, you said?
7 p.m., yeah.
So it'll be a lot of good people, you know, a lot of interested people, a lot of people that are coming to the same conclusions, and I think it'll be a refreshing perspective we can provide. And I know Marx has spoken at, you know, various events of yours.
He has. We'd love to have him back anytime,
too. You know, it's, you know, and I know it just got their cortex raw.
What?
They had to start thinking differently. They're going, meth? Really?
Oh, stop. Hey, look, we've all learned a lot in the last 3 years, Ernie. We've all learned a lot.
No, and I'm glad. And I knew you would. You know, that's one thing. You know, I always, you know, keep cordial relationship with a lot of the people that we may disagree with because we know you to be good people. And we just know as time goes on, we all evolve. We all learn, you know, what's. And I think what we can do is we can demonstrate how quickly and how effective we can make this transition in people's minds as we go into this 2012 election cycle. And whatever they're going to try and do at the legislature, I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
You guys, seriously, you guys want to play? Do you really want to play?
Come on.
Oh, Ernie likes to play. And then they come kicking in the door. You know, that's one thing I got to tell you this before we go. This is how I view the government. I always say this a lot, but your people, when they listen to this, they understand how I see it. Government is like playing chess with a three-year-old. It's easy to beat them, but sometimes they just get really pissed off. They stand up, knock all the pieces on the floor, pull out their 45 and put three in your chest.
Oh.
Okay? They go, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's my rules. Okay? That's how government is. So as much as you can just beat them up, you can make fun of them, you do whatever, sooner or later, they just kick in your door and pump you full of bullets.
That's it.
You know, they go, we win.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure everybody understands. Don't ever think that there's not repercussions for the more you slap them around. A lot of times, the more dangerous it is, especially now that you get all this Occupy stuff. Before we go, tell us about your Occupy experience.
Oh, you know, it was, I'm kind of on both sides of it, Ernie. I don't know really what's going on. I went back down on Saturday to see what's happening down there. It's kind of sparse, you know.
How many people are still camped out there?
I didn't see. When's the last time you've been down there?
Oh, I was just down there that last Saturday. Then we left and went to Libertopia, and we've been busy.
So we're going to go down 2 days ago Saturday?
No. Oh, okay. When it first started. When they first have, we were hoping, I just got the word out to them, that if you can hold out till this next Saturday so that we have, remember the 5th of November.
No, I know.
We'll go down and show you a little bit of love, you know. So yeah, how many people? You got a half a dozen?
It wasn't. There wasn't a lot of anything. I didn't even park the car. It didn't look like much. It's disheartening because
is there, you know, half a dozen people there?
There were more than a half a dozen people.
Okay,
I mean,
they're holding ground.
25 people down there or something.
Oh, that's,
you know, hanging
than I thought
around in a couple booths, you know, for water and stuff. You know, which is good. And you know, I don't know what their plans are because I've been working. You know, I've been working, you know, because I have a house and want to keep a roof over my head, you know.
Well, the idea
it's
that
tough.
They,
it's hard.
The idea
both sides.
That they have, and you may probably be able to speak to this more than me, but that, you know, it's the 1%, we're 99%, and they get too much and we need and redistribute and give us, and how do we bail out the banks and not forgive all the student loans?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm going, you know, even Dr. Paul mentioned something like this. I'm going, really, if you wanted to, you know, do the best you could with just, you know, printing up your money machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd been cheaper just to pay off everybody's house.
Absolutely.
It'd been cheaper just to, you know, give it to the, you know, pay off, let's say we're starting over, we're done, do away with the Fed, something. Just do that. But just to give it straight to them.
Straight to
how
the
do
banks.
You argue with a bunch of people in the streets going, how is it that you give these corporations that screwed us to begin with, you give them the money, saddle the taxpayer with the debt, and you still keep, you know, the debt that they owed on it. I mean, it's like the worst possible scenario. Of course, I advocate for just, you know, stop doing all this. But I'm going, you're not going to be able. And in fact, I think that's the argument that they want to have. The bad guys are like, okay. Now we start to hear this. Dr. Paul comes up with his budget, you know, saying how he's going to cut $1 trillion and say, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
Eliminate Department of, bring the empire home done.
Right.
We start weaning off of this. You know, it's the only way you're going to do it. If you don't find it, it's going to happen anyway. This is a soft landing pick.
Yeah.
So here you got what's-her-face on CNN going, well, what about the people with the student loans? What about, you know, people that don't get to go to college? He goes, well, the reason it's so expensive is because of this stuff. So what happens is they're already starting the mantra that we're going to justify, you know, giving some kind of a bailout, you know, to students or something, hoping that they don't rise up in this Occupy thing because they got a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
So I'm going, you know, this is it's exactly what we keep screaming, is that sooner or later, it all just comes crashing down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's always economics. And what happened to the Arab Spring and what's going on around the world, you know, Greece and Europe and everything, you know, it be a coming here. And that's when we had, you know, that's one thing you had experience with the Phoenix police also. And the new guys that are starting, I'm seeing the new wave coming in.
The new wave.
Oh, these guys are, man, you respect our authority and we got a beating coming.
Well, you know, it's the older guy. It's fun because it's interesting because the older guys are so mellow and they're so cool because they've seen so much and they're just, you know, they're kind of they've handled us very well. We've made a really nice friendship with the Phoenix police, the people that handle the marches and things over the years. And I like the new fellows, too. But you can tell that they mean business. you know, and it's kind of, it kind of makes me worry, because it's like, okay, are you going to be mean in business and bringing on more of a mean in business kind of
crowd?
You know, is that what the wave that we're progressing towards?
Absolutely. This fusion center, multi-jurisdictional, we federalized local,
we,
top,
yeah,
said,
they, we
you're
and
gonna.
Them and us. And
you're gonna.
That's scary. I don't like it.
So,
yeah.
I, you know, our conversations has been, look, you guys go this heavy hand kind of thing, I'm not going to be able to help you anymore. Because I like to help them. You know, them to be, I'd like the Phoenix to, we've been pretty good about them having a reputation of protecting our rights.
Absolutely.
Whether, you know, it's protesting, with or without guns, going to the TSA, airports, we won't fly, doing, I mean, everything. They've been pretty cool. But this,
they've been wonderful, really.
This, you know, they brought in a new crowd, you know, and the new supervisors that they're going to be, and I can see where I'm going, are you guys sure you want to play this game? I don't think you realize what you're up against. But then again, they may. They may want the confrontation. They may
need it.
I'd
hate to think that. I'd like to continue a good relationship with them and just, you know, and stay, you know, because the fact is, it's just they are one bounced paycheck away from being us. So, you know, they need to understand and recognize that they're not in the 1%.
I tell you what, their mindset. I've talked to them about this. How's that pension going, you know? Because what they're doing is they need to raise more money. Arizona's the worst in the nation.
Oh, heck yeah.
So what do? We start doing stories last week. It hit all over talk radio here in the Valley. It was in newspaper. Man, they freaked out because my daughter called and told me about it. And we did call the public information officer and for the city council in Scottsdale and for the Scottsdale PD and all this. They had all commercial vehicles being pulled off the freeway at the 101 Hayden over there. And we're just doing a federal inspection of your vehicle. Got the hoods up, going through everything, inspecting vehicles. And they said it was for federal blah, 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 blah. It's just a money-raising thing.
Wow, yeah.
Because they've done this before around the state. That's how I knew what this probably was. And just need them to confirm it. I said it to Jim Sharp, the morning show over at KFYI,
yeah,
the Clear Channel
Jim.
Thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, no, Jim's a good friend. So I go, Jim, just for you, man. So he goes in the second hour, he talks about it, it exploded. It was like, everybody's like, yeah, those SOBs or whatever. He says, I got the Scottsdale police just wanting to be my buddy now. They're calling, you know, we want. What happened is that if you drive, and this is just part of it, if you are driving a vehicle and use it for any commercial purposes, you're a Mary Kay Cosmetics, you're a real estate agent, you got a sign on the side, you're a handyman, whatever, and you don't have a commercial license plate, $700. And I go,
how nice, how convenient.
They're just raising money.
Right.
Plus, you know, how many drug seizures they did, how much, you know, searching a blah, 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 you know,
right,
confiscated, yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's just a freaking money thing.
Everything's about money.
Because they have to.
But, Ernie, you know that it all started with money.
Well, I tell you what, you know, this is one of the reasons why I know this will happen. 4409, our videographer, you know, Shelton in 4409, he got into it with them. Long story, they arrested him unjustly because he refused to ID himself because he's a journalist. I'm here to, what, I didn't know I have to do with you. So it goes through, long story, you know, like just 5, 6, 10 charges. I mean, all these charges, they all dropped, dismissed, this, that. He files a civil suit. Mark Victor is his attorney.
Sweet.
The city of Scottsdale had to have a vote a couple weeks ago to pay the award for him because it was over $20,000, okay? They said, oh, yeah, we're going to add it to property tax and this, you know, tax and get some more taxes. Well, Shelton lives in Scottsdale. Goes, hey, man, I'm a taxpayer. You don't have to do, man, you're going to tax the people for what the Scottsdale police did? Take it off of their budget. You know, $28,000 that you paid me, it's mine.
That's,
and you take it from them, the scumbags that did it, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
So what happens? Oh, yeah, we can raise that. We're going to pull commercial vehicles off the highway and go search them.
Yeah, we'll be happy to raise that. It's very easy. It's a nice gig they've got going
on. Yeah, Kingsman, we got guns.
Nice. Really nice.
So
really
this is what we're dealing with. And it's the same all over the country.
Right.
So people are doing, but, you know, the one thing that I want to, we never severed any kind of ties with Kathy and Nancy. Is she, Nancy, your daughter, busy in Tucson doing this
Nancy,
stuff?
Nancy, she's going to U of A right now. And they're in Tucson, but they are out of the marijuana reform business and on to bigger and better things. Engaged.
I mean,
I'm happy and proud to say.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. She got engaged to the guy that was running the initiative.
Andrew Myers. I'm very proud. Very proud.
Okay,
beautiful couple. I'm very happy for the two of them. Yeah.
Well, what we're going to do is maybe we can get her interested just passing some stuff out, you know, get some QR codes.
Some, oh yeah, she'll do some stickers for me down there.
Yeah, no, all she got to do is just, you know, have it in the garage, in the back trunk of her car or something. Everybody just come get a whole bunch of stuff, and you just never know.
Yeah.
So what we're going to go ahead and do is we always, you know, keep in contact with people that we like you.
Well, thank you, Ernie. You know, thank you.
And people, we've always been, you know, supportive. We go and speak whenever you need us. We help you with somebody. We do whatever. But we always made it clear what our position was.
Yes.
And then waited.
Huh.
Because we knew.
That we'd come back. Oh, yes.
We knew. There's never a doubt in my mind. Yeah, let me tell you what you're going to learn. The same thing we did. Because we were in the late 80s, early 90s.
That's it.
And a lot of times, like when we started the Levolution, around Dr. Paul's campaign, that people said, Ernie, if you do this, you're just going to give the delusion to this next generation that voting's going to make them free somehow. And I'm like, no, I'm not. They're going to learn up close and personal what I learned. This thing is jacked up, man.
Yeah, it's jacked up.
You know, so it's just going to be, you know, an awareness thing. So are we going to be able to keep this Levolution peaceful? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Marijuana is going to help.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Kathy. It's been a pleasure.
That's thanks,
Phoenix
Ernie.
Normal. Phoenix, PHOENIXNORML.net. Well, you're going to start hearing a lot of news, you know, from here in Phoenix because we can.